Hi, I'm Kelly Corrigan. You've probably never heard of me. Maybe you did. I wrote some New York Times bestsellers. I gave a TED Talk. But the reason I'm in your ear now is to invite you to listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders. We talk to everyone from Bono to Amy Schumer, Spike Lee to Rainn Wilson, Krista Tippett and Bryan Stevenson about purpose, creativity, well-being, and what makes life worth living. Follow and listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
He is here, the last show of the year before we plow forward, get it, plow forward and plant the seeds, get it, to the year 2025. Doug Oster, DougOster.com. 10th caller right now, the Wednesday gift certificate from Sorgles out there in Wexford, 412-922-1020. Hard to believe, Mr. Oster, but another year is just about over and it's time to start thinking about planting and the spring gardening season. It'll be here before you know it.
Well, after the winter solstice, the birds are singing. So that's really cool. In the morning and in the afternoon, you're in too early to hear the birds. But as soon as that sun starts to come up, the birds have started singing, started their mating rituals. And so it's coming. You know, as the days get longer and boy, this weather.
Mating rituals.
Yes.
So at least someone's having some fun. But listen, I just want to say you always make the Feast of the Seven Fishes such a special event. You post on your social media platforms. You give us a little extra love. And you and Steve Rapaski have become tradition. So thank you for showing up again.
Oh, thank you for doing the Feast of Seven Fishes show. That is the start of our day, of our Feast of Seven Fishes. And oh, man, it was just amazing. We had just a whole house filled with people. My wife works so hard. You know, I say afterwards, you know, even when we're cleaning up the next day, still cleaning up, like, gosh, honey, this is a lot of work. She goes, it's just once a year. Okay. It's just once a year. It's okay.
You're a lucky man.
We're still eating seafood lasagna.
So what all did you have for your feast?
Well, let's see. Okay. We've talked about it before. The seafood lasagna, the pan of seafood lasagna must have weighed 30 pounds. Wow. It filled up the entire oven. Then there was this Thai soup and cod, smelts, calamari. Gosh, what else? Oh, lobster pasta. And it just, the list goes on. I can't remember everything. And I don't even get everything that day. There's too much. The next day for the warming it up and everything, it was just absolutely wonderful. But I'm already, you know, with the end of the year here, thinking about spring and planting. And I have been planting with this break in the weather.
Right.
I finally got all my bulbs in.
And they're still planting.
Yeah. And I there's this one plant I talk about all the time, Rob. It's called a Christmas rose. And it's a perennial plant that comes back year after year. But they sell it as a holiday plant. Like, here's this beautiful plant now with white flowers. After the holidays, throw it away. But it's something you could put in the ground or grow on the windowsill or put in a protected spot and then get it in the ground at some point and it'll come back year after year and bloom right now. So something outside in the middle of the winter blooming with white flowers. Nice. And so I found one, the last one this nursery had, and I decided, because I've had bad luck doing this. Usually I put them in an unheated greenhouse or grow them on a windowsill for the winter, put them in the spring. But I'm like, well, it's 60 degrees. It's going to slowly get cooled off, but not crazy, not like below zero or anything. So I put it in the ground and we'll see if it gets adjusted. And it's part of gardening is just the experimentation and seeing, let's see if it can make it. And if it catches on, that's one more of those plants that next year will start blooming at the end of November and go through most of the winter. And with this warm up and this thaw, that's actually a source for pollen and nectar for bees. They actually, and other pollinators, actually come out when it gets to be 60 degrees.
Really?
Yeah, come out of the hive, looking around for food, doing cleansing flights and stuff. And so having something in bloom almost all year long, including the winter, it's just awesome. And the flowers are almost, in their texture, it's almost plastic. That's how tough they are. And they'll just sit there. If it gets really cold and it gets covered in snow, they'll just sit there in suspended animation. And as soon as things warm up like this, they're just going nuts. I posted pictures on my Facebook page, and people were just like, oh, where can I get one of those? I said, go out, look around at a nursery, look around at other places that are selling these as Christmas plants, and get them for a song. That's the thing. I was at the nursery. You know how cheap I am.
Right.
And I love these guys that run the nursery, but I also, I want to get a deal. And so I thought, yeah, she got one left like that. What are you going to do with it? And he's like, he starts off with like, I'll just keep it. It'll keep over the winter. It'll be fine. I'll sell it in the spring.
Next thing you know, Doug's got him being paid to take it off their hands.
Well, he just started going, well, how about a 20%? And I'm like, hey, listen, I appreciate it. I know you got to make money and everything, but you know, I want to get it for like $6 or something. He goes, well, you know, I can't sell it that cheap. I know. And so I'm like, don't worry about it. Cause I was buying some other stuff. And he goes, 30%. I said, it's okay. He goes, 40%. I'm like, okay, all right, I'll buy it.
So you bought it.
Yeah, put it in the ground, and we'll see. I've had friends succeed in planting things this late, a plant like that. And the thing about it is that it has foliage all year round, like a dark green foliage year round, right. So evergreen. The deer don't want it. It's just the perfect plant. It's a shade lover, a little bit of sun, but it's just a perfect plant. And once it's in place, you never want to move it. It just grabs in there and does its thing. And actually, when I was planting, and I get this question a lot, is that when I was planting it, I stumbled onto a few daffodil bulbs in there. So I had to move a little bit, just stick the daffodil bulbs back in there.
You know what I'm starting to realize? We've been doing the show long enough that a lot of these nurseries don't go dormant in January.
Yeah.
They're still doing business.
Yeah, some will close, but many will stay open year-round or take a break, take like a two-week break. To, you know, just rest and get ready. But, yeah, they stay open. And we'll start next. You know, even I was in that nursery I was in the other day, filled with seeds. You know, the seeds were already there. This is an exciting time when we start to plan. This is the time to plan. You know, you got to, I know it's going to be windy and stormy today, but you've got temperatures where you can go out, walk around, look at the garden and think, what should go here? What should go there? Especially when all the leaves are off the trees, you can get kind of the bones of the garden. Like, well, I could fit something in here. Or I could fit something in there. What needs to be moved that didn't get moved? That's my thing. You know, I'm the procrastinator, and I'm telling everybody you should do this, you should do that. But I've got some shrubs that I wish I would have moved in the fall, but I'm got to move them in the spring because they're in the wrong spot. And they can sit there for 3-4 years, depending on what the variety is. But I want to put it in a permanent place, get it in there. And again, I've got all these plants that people have sent me. And I feel responsibility to get them in the garden. But I've just had them in these what we call nursery beds, mm-hmm. where it's just growing in a little bed for like 2 years. I said, I got to get this out of here. Get it out there. They're sending it to you because they want you to write about it. And I only write about it if it's spectacular. But when I stick them into this spot where they're not supposed to be and they go crazy, then I write about them.
So how about my man Ronnie Eichner recently celebrating an anniversary out there at Eichner Farms? And I brought this up yesterday on the radio that they're asking for people who basically have live Christmas trees to drop them off because the goat and the sheep love the live Christmas trees. I never knew that they loved live Christmas trees.
Best chicken I ever had from Eichner's.
Really?
Yes. The freshest, best chicken I've ever had in my life. And I didn't know that either, but what a, you know, instead of, I hope you're not throwing your Christmas tree out on the curb.
Right.
You know, I put mine, well, actually I didn't have a live tree this year.
My son did from Janoski's. It was absolutely beautiful.
But if you've got space on your own property, put it out there as a place for the bunnies or whatever to you know, have a little protection. But recycle it. There's lots of different ways, especially in the city, to recycle your Christmas tree. That's a good thing to do. Christmas trees are a sustainable crop. Mm-hmm. It's like corn. You know, you cut one down, you plant another one. But that's a great thing that Eichner's has taken them.
Good people. So what do we got coming up today?
Well, I got a great guest. This is part 2 and 3 from Natalie Carmoli. She is with Proven Winners Color Choice Shrubs. Every year I talk to her about what's coming out, what's new, and also some of her favorite plants. And there's a great information in these interviews. I'm really looking forward for you to listen to this and get some information. There's this new hydrangea that I've just gone nuts over. In fact, I sent it to my friend Jordan who works at Phipps. She designs all the not all the shows, most of the shows, the Christmas and spring show. And I said, look at this hydrangea. It actually has a trailing habit where you could plant it up high and it would like fall over, which is an unusual growing habit for hydrangea. So we're going to talk all about these cool new plants.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Doug's got that guest coming up on the other side. Stay with us. This, of course, is The Organic Gardener, DougOster.com.
So last week was part one with Natalie Carmoli. She's the public relations specialist for Proven Winners Color Choice Shrubs. And we're going to continue our discussion today. Natalie, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. I'm happy to be back.
So let's talk about some new things you guys are introducing.
Sure. I know last week we talked about some deer-proof varieties, but I would love to talk about some brand new varieties that are coming to growers for 2025 and to your garden center for 2026. Now, what this means if you're a home gardener listening to this radio show is that you can sometimes find these brand new varieties that growers are starting to grow next year online toward the end of the season. So for those who are really excited about these new varieties, they can start looking online, and some of these retailers will carry them in smaller sizes. So this is sort of a preview for home gardeners and what's new for growers. And what people always want to hear about are hydrangeas. Of course, everybody loves a hydrangea. And we've got a few new ones this year. One thing that we introduced a couple years ago is our brand new Fairy Trail series of Cascade hydrangeas. These are the hydrangeas that look great in a container, or you can plant them on a garden wall, and they will, their branches will trail over, and they have flowers that are at every leaf node. So they flower all the way down the branch. We introduced Fairy Trail Bride first. That was the Chelsea Flower Show Plant of the Year in 2018. Then we did Fairy Trail White, Fairy Trail Green, and next year we'll see Fairy Trail Fresco, which is finally one of those that you can turn pink or blue depending on the soil. So we have a beautiful picture of it all turned completely blue, absolutely gorgeous. I want to give you a little grower tip if I could. Would that be all right?
Oh, yeah.
All right. So with these Fairy Trail plants, they run a little contrary to the theory of what we usually have with a hydrangea macrophylla. So usually when you have a macrophylla and you're trying to protect their buds, you want to plant them where they're going to get morning sun and afternoon shade. We're going to do opposite with the Fairy Trail series, and here's why. Because they flower earlier than your other macrophylla hydrangeas, and they flower on old wood. So if we plant them where they're going to get morning shade, then what we've got is buds forming early, and then as the sun starts to warm those buds, it won't happen right away in the morning, causing them possibly to frost and get damaged. It'll allow them to thaw more slowly and not to damage that plant material. So planting them in morning shade and afternoon sun is the best way to grow a Fairy Trail series of Cascade hydrangea.
Oh, tell me about the Cascade. I mean, you've talked a little bit about it, but I think that's a pretty cool growing habit to have that kind of, you know, falling over a wall or a container.
Yeah, they're a really beautiful container plant. And that's one thing people ask me a lot is, can I plant a hydrangea in a container? And the answer is yes. Generally, we want to pick more dwarf varieties. But these Cascade hydrangeas look especially nice because they do tend to drape over the edges of your containers. We're even trialing some in hanging baskets. So there's a lot of new uses for hydrangeas, and especially this new Cascade hydrangea.
And does it bloom on old wood? Is that right?
Or it does bloom on old wood, but because you can put it in a container, you can protect it more readily than you would a lot of your other old wood hydrangeas.
So what are some other things that we need to look forward to?
Well, we have a brand new smooth hydrangea coming to retail in 2026, but to growers next year, and it is called Incredi-Ball Storm Proof. And there's kind of an interesting story about why we named it that. So, you know, a lot of people know our Incredi-Ball series. It was the kind of the first hydrangea that came after Annabelle. They had very strong stems, nice big flowers. The nice big flowers were actually kind of a bonus that happened when Tim Wood was breeding it for strong stems. He was really trying to get a stronger stemmed Annabelle, and as a result, also got these huge flowers, so they named it Incredi-Ball. So we decided, well, let's get one with even stronger stems that's maybe just a little bit smaller than Incredi-Ball, and we came up with Incredi-Ball Storm Proof. The reason it's named Storm Proof is last year we had a really, really wild storm come through here in Michigan just before our big grower event. And while every other hydrangea in our trial garden, you know, even the ones known for strong stems, took a hit because it was one of those just crazy storms, everybody's had them, where you go out to your garden, you're like, what's left? And this guy was standing straight up, just unfazed, full of flowers from top to bottom, those nice big Incredi-Ball flowers from top to bottom. So we named it Storm Proof. One thing we know about Storm Proof is it has 2,000, so we're talking about the entire inflorescence, which is that ball of flowers, 2,000 sterile flowers and 4,000 fertile flowers per inflorescence. So what that tells us is not only is it a bigger flower, but it's more pollinator friendly. And that's something we're always looking for, especially with these native cultivars. Can the pollinators find the pollen on that plant? And this one is a really great pollinator magnet as well.
If you could speak briefly about the toughness of a smooth hydrangea in general. You guys have a lot of really good looking smooth hydrangeas. If you want something that will bloom under any circumstances, I think smooth hydrangea is the one to go with.
Yeah, and that's because, first of all, because it's a native species. So all of these smooth hydrangeas in our collection have native parentage, which makes them better adapted to grow in your garden. Plus, they bloom exclusively on new wood, and that means they form their flower buds in the same year as you're getting the flowers. So in the spring, you chop them down by 1/3, unlike your macrophyllas, where you don't want to lose those old wood blooms because most of them bloom on old and new wood these days. They're so easy to take care of because you just chop them by 1/3. They're going to bloom exclusively on new wood, and they can actually tolerate a little bit of shade as well. So they have a wider variety of places where you can plant them in your garden.
Thanks, Natalie. Time for a little break. When we come back, Natalie is going to tell us all about her favorite varieties from Proven Winners Color Choice Shrubs. So stick around.
You got to love talking to people like that, huh? We're going to come back for the second part, but good stuff, though.
Definitely. There's so much a wealth of information with somebody like that. And you'll find out in the next segment that not only does she talk about these plants as a public relations person, she's actually growing all these plants. That's why I love working with Natalie. The first time I ever met her was at this trade show I'm going to in Baltimore in a couple of weeks, and she had just started. And I just came up to that booth and I had my camera and I did a video, and she had to do it off the cuff. And we still laugh about that. So that had to be 10, 15 years ago. And I like to talk to her every year because, again, Proven Winners is a plant you can find at any of our local nurseries. That's why I love it. They're at all the local nurseries. So anything she's talking about, some of the new stuff, you're going to have to wait, but everything we're talking about in the next segment is stuff you'll be able to get as soon as the nurseries are stocked up and ready to go in the early spring.
All right. Now, listen, the rest of the day, hey, he's out of here at 8, but I'm here till 1. We've got a lot of stuff still to come today. Next hour, listen, one of my favorite shows because it's about moving forward. You know, it's pork, it's sauerkraut, it's comfort food, it's New Year's Day celebrations, and more importantly, looking back on the year that was and looking with your family around that dinner table on Wednesday, the first day of the new year, about all the things and projects that you have planned for 2025. And we've got a lot of exciting things planned for that great hometown grocer in our 8 locations, the Pittsburgh tradition that is Coons Market, our CEO Jody Zima and Frank Dentisi and I, and the entire crew. producer. We're going to be talking to Frank coming up next hour. 9 o'clock, Dr. Bridget Shufo helping you lose and maintain your weight loss in the year to come, and also Accurate Solutions, and then the Coons Market Black and Gold Sunday Show. So a full slate up until 1. Stay with us. Your Pratt Pack on KDKA.
Well, it's part 3 of our talk with Natalie Carmoli. She is the public relations specialist for Proven Winners Color Choice Shrubs. And Natalie, I want to pick your brain on some of your favorites and some of the new stuff that retailers have out there.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk about some shrubs that you'll be able to find in the garden center next year that will offer something that I think your neighbors will say, wow, I've never heard of that. And where do I find it? So for those of you who are looking for something a little unusual, a little different, those are the kinds of shrubs I'm going to talk about today. What I love about shrubs is they offer a lot of interest to the garden when it comes to foliage. So they bring a foliage interest that lasts from spring until fall. So flowers are great, but there are times when your plants are going to either be done flowering or take a rest in between flowering. And that's where the foliage of shrubs carries your garden through. So I'm going to talk about some shrubs with really unique and interesting foliage. And the first one is Sergeant Pepper Cornus. So it is a member of, it's related to a red twig dogwood, but this is a Cornus alba as opposed to the red twig dogwood Cornus. What makes it different? Well, let's talk about what makes it the same. It still has those red branches. So if you love the red branches on a red twig or the yellow branches on a yellow twig, this one has the red branches in the winter. But the foliage of Sergeant Pepper Cornus is variegated with green in the middle and pink on the outside. Absolutely beautiful. It kind of changes color throughout the year. It flushes bright pink, and then it'll turn to green with cream-colored margin. And then it will, in fall, the leaves will once again change to almost look like a tricolored beech. So you get this changing foliage throughout the season on a zone 3 to 7 plant that's going to get about 4 to 6 feet tall, 6 to 8 feet wide. So it's a nice specimen, but not too large, full season interest, because you get the color changing throughout the summer and you also get the red branches in the winter.
I like that.
Yeah, that's a beautiful plant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Very interesting plant. Now, if we're talking about beautiful plants that have interesting foliage, my other favorite is a Leucothoe, and it's called Paisley Pup. And you'll be able to find this in garden centers next year. Another great thing about Leucothoe, it's deer resistant. So,
yep.
Its common name is Dog Hobble, which is really fun. This is Paisley Pup. It's zone 5 to 8. It will grow 3 to 4 feet tall, 4 to 5 feet wide. Variegated foliage, green and white in the center, and purple on the outside. So this is an absolutely gorgeous little plant. Once again, just like the plant we just talked about, these shades in the foliage will change throughout the season. And it's just an absolutely gorgeous plant. You're going to want to plant this in part sun, so it will work in a lot of margins of your garden as well.
You know, and that's one that is underused in the landscape. That is a great plant in general. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. I just put one in my garden this fall, so I'm looking forward to seeing it next spring.
And that's another thing that people should know about you, Natalie, is you're not just talking about these plants. You're growing these plants.
I am growing all of these plants. So it's nice and it's invaluable to have the personal experience really with them, to be able to talk about them and get really excited to be able to say, yeah, this is my favorite. And I do have one more favorite that I do grow and have grown for about 3 years. This is new to the Proven Winners collection, but it's not new. You may have seen it, especially if you really like those niche plants. And it's called Kinsley's Ghost Honeysuckle. Now, I know when people hear honeysuckle, they're like, no, honeysuckle's invasive. This is not. This is a native species of honey, or it comes from a native species of honeysuckle. And it has these disc-like sepals. It will have little small, it has a yellow flower in the spring with little small leaves. But what really makes it special are these great big sepals that are like discs along its branches. It's a climbing vine. It's an aggressive grower, but it is not an invasive grower. So it will stay put. I've got mine growing on an obelisk. It stays put on that obelisk. It doesn't go other places. And the foliage looks like eucalyptus. So it's got that dusky gray-green foliage. Absolutely gorgeous. And then in the fall, after the flowers are done and your foliage is still staying intact, you get those red berries.
What else is on your list of new and interesting plants?
I have one more hydrangea I want to tell you about, and it's a new panicle hydrangea. And if there's anything that I think Proven Winners Color Choice does really well, it's our panicle collection of hydrangeas. So you think, how could they possibly come up with a new interesting panicle hydrangea? There are already so many. And when I saw this last year in our samples for our grower meeting, I was astounded. And this panicle hydrangea is called Powerball. And it's called Powerball because the panicles are actually almost perfectly round. So this is got the strength, it's got the durability, it has the easy to grow qualities of any panicle hydrangea, which is also a new wood hydrangea, like these smooth hydrangeas, but these really round, dense flowers. So when you touch them, they're really super ultra dense, like a panicle hydrangea. The color occurs naturally, and like a smooth hydrangea, they have that natural occurring color change. Starts out green, transitions to a greenish white, and then to pink at the end of the season. But what it does is it opens up the ability for people that live in warmer zones to grow hydrangeas. Whereas a lot of people that live in these really warm areas, the only thing they can grow are panicle hydrangeas, and they want those big round mop head blooms, and they get them on Powerball. So it's an exciting new hydrangea. It's hardy in zones 3 through 8. It's going to be 3 to 6 feet tall and wide. It's absolute beauty.
All right, Natalie, you're our first three-part series for the Organic Gardening Radio Show. It's always great to talk to you. Tell them again where they can get their information on these plants.
You know, I always recommend that you go to your local garden center first. They're the people that are going to give you the best information about what you can grow in your garden, in your zone. Look for Proven Winners Color Choice plants in the distinctive white container, or go to provenwinnerscolorchoice.com or provenwinners.com.
And I have links to all those on my website too, DougOster.com. Natalie, thanks again. It was great to talk to you.
Thanks, Doug.
Always good to get caught up with people from your world, Doug.
Oh, I love it. You know, lots of great information there, lots of cool plants. And like I said, everything we talked about is at DougOster.com. You can take a look at the pictures. The nice thing is with that Proven Winter site, you can just type in, I want shade plant, this size, deer resistant, whatever it is, and a bunch of things will come up. Now, I was talking today about finally finishing my bulb planting. The thing that slowed me down besides my procrastination was a bad winter cold, which I'm still getting over. It's been weeks, but some days I just couldn't do it. And I was so glad to get them out into the ground, because most of what I was planting are rare daffodils from a place called Old House Gardens and then from our friend Joe Hamm. I'll tell you when we get closer, but just put this on your calendar for April. Joe Hamm's Daffodil Garden in northern Washington County. Again, all the information about Joe is on my website, DougOster.com. It is the most incredible collection of daffodils. And if you love daffodils like I do, it's the place to go. And so I just want to talk about one of the daffodils that I planted yesterday, or actually 2 days ago. It's called Double Campanelli. And it was originally released in 1601. I love this stuff. I love growing these varieties from that were originally released that long ago. And listen to the description. With dozens of petals neatly nestled together as if it was a perfect miniature rose, and it's just as fragrant. And that's the other thing I love, are the fragrant daffodils. I can't get enough of them. This tough little daffodil has been grown and loved for over 400 years. Now, I'm the only one that's going to know that this little flower is from the 1600s, but as long as I have my garden, as long as I'm out there, I'll know. And that's just the tip of the iceberg with so many different you know, old-fashioned and rare and antique daffodils. It's just something I love. The other thing I was doing while I was out there in this nice weather, and today might not be the day, but before it goes back down to freezing, good time to spray plants with deer repellent. And there are so many good ones out there. Anyone will work. I happen to use one called Bob-X. And when I go to this trade show in Baltimore, I'll be talking to the team at Bob-X. But get out there and keep those plants safe from the deer.
So if you have a question for Mr. Oster, our final segment, this would be a good time for you to fill up some of the empty space we have on the phone lines. Any gardening question, looking back, looking ahead, you need something, we're here. 866-391-1020. Pork recipes, New Year's traditions, less than 20 minutes away on the Coons Cooking Hour. Frank Dentisi on KDKA. All right, being that we have no calls and it's the holiday, this one's on me. So let's talk about Bob Dylan for a moment, okay?
What? What are you talking about, Bob Dylan? I've got unheated greenhouse and kale and turnips and extending the season, but go ahead with Bob Dylan.
So talk to me. You're the historian, the rock historian, because I was listening to Motown, but I love all genres of music, and I really like Bob Dylan, and I always have liked Bob Dylan. Mr. Chalamet, this new movie is out and getting rave reviews, Man No Name, whatever the name of it is. Tell me about Bob Dylan. What significance did Bob Dylan have in the world of music?
And oh, come on.
No, I'm just asking. To me, I just like him, but what's this?
One of the greatest songwriters ever. That's it. You know, he's just known as one of the greatest songwriters ever. I saw him a bunch of times.
Live?
Oh, yeah. Sometimes it was
good.
Oof.
And sometimes it was rough.
Saw him play with Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers at the Rubber Bowl in Akron, which is no longer there. And Petty would come on, then Dylan would come on, then Petty would join Dylan, then Dylan would go off and Petty would stay on, and then Dylan would come back. And it was all leading up to the Grateful Dead was after them. And like the Grateful Dead fans were just like, oh, Dylan's coming on again? But that movie looks good.
I want to see it, but I really like Bob Dylan, always have. But Gene Simmons of Kiss was saying, you don't have to sing to be a rock star. So was he really a singer?
They say, you know, when you hear Lay, Lady, Lay, they say that he's really a good singer.
That's
but
his song?
Lay, Lady, Lay.
I thought that was Eric Clapton's.
No.
All right.
You're talking about Lay Down Sally.
Oh.
Lay, Lady, Lay.
Ah, okay.
All right, let's get a phone call in here quick.
Yeah, we only have one, so let's get it.
Yeah.
Here's Mary in Munhall. Hi, Mary.
Hey, Mary.
Hello. Doug, this is a really silly question, but I would like to know the answer. I was visiting my granddaughter over the Christmas last week, and her husband had last year they had a 5-foot live Christmas tree they planted in the ground, and it stayed green till May. Why would it stay green?
And then what happened in May?
It died. It was dead. I told him. I said, it had no roots. Why did you try to plant it? And he said it stayed green till May.
Well, they'll do that.
I know. It's a silly
it's out
question.
That's not a silly question. It's out in that cold, and if you left it inside, it would just turn brown and everything would fall off. If you just leave them outside, like just let's say that we, like when I throw my Christmas tree where all the other ones are for the rabbits as a place to nest, it'll stay green for, you know, months at a time because it's out there in the cool weather. I guess, too, if you stuck the trunk into the soil, it would start sucking up some water, too. And so that would kind of keep it green for a while. But it's, you know, it's never going to be able to persist because it doesn't have those roots.
Yeah.
And so good for them.
Okay, that's
awesome.
I told him I would call you and let him know what you thought.
Yeah, it's kind of going into a sort of suspended animation out there in the cold and then with probably sucking up some water. And as I said, if you kept it inside in the dry, hot conditions, it would have just gone all brown and just those needles would have fallen off.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Well, I appreciate your call.
So, you know, pork recipes next hour, you'll appreciate this. So Mr. Rapaski was so nice to bring me some pork.
Oh, did you actually eat it?
But I gave the majority of it to my son because he scarfed it up. And my daughter was there, and my daughter loves everything that's living, you know. And I said, "Yeah, this thing was just walking around the other day." She laughed.
I haven't eaten mine yet.
Goodness gracious.
Just because we've had so much seafood there, but maybe today's the day where I can try Steve's pork because it is amazing. I did have one little piece, and it was amazing.
Think about all the things that farming and farmers have done to really contribute to the holidays that we enjoy.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, you know, I was talking off the air when you said about Janoski's...
The cauliflower.
Buy a head of cauliflower for $3 and get one for free. $1.50 for a head of cauliflower that you had to go out and till the soil, put the plants in. Somebody had to put those plants in. Keep them watered, keep them fertilized, keep them mulched, get them harvested, get them cleaned, and get them to market. How do you do that for $1.50? I don't know how you do that for $1.50.
I love it.
And you know their produce is just, it's beyond belief. I mean, every time that I've got to take someone to the airport or I'm out that way, I'm always stopping by. And one thing they have there that I just can't live without, the Brussels sprouts on the stem. There's nothing like Brussels sprouts that way. They are amazing. And they've already gone through that frost period, which sweetens them up. And that's the freshest, best Brussels sprout you can possibly have.
All right. It is time for us to exit stage left with this edition of The Organic Gardener. He'll be here for a new year, a week from today, January 5th. And Mr. Dentisi is in the building, so we're going to be talking those pork recipes and New Year's traditions. So, Doug, do your thing.
Remember, organic gardeners, you make our world brighter and safer with each seed you sow and every garden you grow.
All right, there he goes, Doug Oster, DougOster.com. Back for another year next Sunday, January 5th. But it's time to talk pork recipes and New Year's traditions, and we've got some great opportunities to save at all 8 locally owned and independently operated Coons Markets, a Pittsburgh tradition. We'll tell you all about it. Right after Rob Taylor checks the news at 8 on KDKA. It's your Pratt Pack. Good morning.